Okay. So the last few public parts on the human document, what we need to go through today. I'm going to run through a couple of them with you, and then Dean's going to run through a few of them. First on my list, Scott already helpfully brought up, which was reminding that there's a blank still sitting in the whereas clause at the top of page 4 of the confirmation intent, waiting for that date on the advisory council draft. I will now assume that the draft that is attached to section 7, that's the final report, is the right date information to fill in here, and we'll do that unless that changes, but just point that out to you. The next color section I want to direct you to is on page 6. You have all the green and yellow.
That's easy to read.
The one that's on your table, I think you can read those out of the
couple of colors. I know it's on this one.
Okay. Is everyone looking at section C, divisions? Where you have all the color notes? So, I want to bring attention to the yellow. I assume yours is yellow also. Yeah. The yellow is sort of the conceptual part of this language. The green is a lot more technical of the how-to. The yellow brings in the concept that, and this is something we've run into in conservation easements on a lot of properties, in the future there is an ability to move a boundary line slightly, should that be needed. And the green outlines the process on tap. And let me direct you to the limit on this, which is important, which is the protected property size cannot be changed by more than a half an acre. That's a small amount. And what happens is, occasionally a boundary line, there's some little change that needs to be done in the future because of where a fence is or where a trail is or whatever. It makes sense often to have this kind of language in a conservation easement. This came out of a conversation Commissioner Coleman and I were having, realizing that that might be a future possibility. It still sets up a pretty technical process on how to do it, and it taps how that can, how much it can be changed.
What are the limits of what, how do you limit what is changing? I wasn't thinking about this before when we looked at it. I was just wondering about the salamander crossing areas. Is that something that's potentially going to be part of, you know, something that could be included in changing, you know, up to a half an acre or...
Well, the salamander, you mean around roads that exist? We already allowed for that in the easement in the way it is.
Okay.
You probably remember.
I just wondered if there's some other area. I mean, would that be... I thought it was strictly to do with the railroads coming and giving them access to...
It could be on either side. It could be generated on either side. If there's some, I mean, yes, if there's some really important little scooch of something that's found in the future on the conservation side, we could implement this process as well. The conservation easement people could implement this process as well. So it goes to either side. It just allows a small adjustment of it based on good reason and limits the amount. And I want to point to the fact that the green is all technical language on how it is done. And I want to point out that there's more language all tied to this change. One on page 2. There's a whereas with some green in it. This essentially adds in the concept that that this protected property is subject to the revision as defined in the section. And also in Exhibit A at the end, there's a long green paragraph added. And again, it's cut and paste in from this section on revision on sort of how this needs to happen. It's a three-step process. So I want to be clear, everyone's clear on the concept and comfortable with this.
I don't really have any problem with the basic concept, but I guess I just now realized, as when we're doing it, that in the first use of the word adjust, it's plural, subject to boundary line adjustments, and then next use is provided the size of the protected property should not be reduced by more than one half.
general noun term, essentially, so that it actually can be more than one for the half an acre's change. The way I would read essentially that's not about an A.
So you do think that the intention was that there could be an acre change tomorrow, and then the day after there could be another half acre change?
I think, well, I'm not a lawyer, but I think that's possible. And I think, let me put out here that I'm the one to put in a half acre adjustment tax, so we can change this conceptually. It was more to make sure that there is a limit on adjustability. And if we're more comfortable in being clear that it's a total of 1 half acre, which is very small, but if there needs to be a more clear limitation that way, I think we can think about it. And I think we can ask that.
Well, I mean, I don't know kind of what motivated this new language anyway, you know, so not knowing what the motivation was, there must be somebody who was concerned about standard move boundary, and that's why, you know, this language is here.
Yeah, well, let me
explain
it
again.
Yes,
I certainly would feel a little more comfortable not having to anticipate the possibility that there could be half-acre increments every other year, you know, 400 years, and so all of a sudden you've lost 50 acres.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Not that that's likely, but...
I believe what that originated was really the primary access corridor. And there's a very narrow area in that primary access corridor, down at the south end of that corridor, that's very narrow, and there's some topographic changes in there that we may not be able to... if you build a rail or a road through there, we need to complete that corridor. I believe that's where it originated.